The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Savior and my Lord. Every day, my goal is to please Him. I don't do it perfectly, but that is my desire, to please and honor Him. I was taught from an early age the truth about the gospel. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day, He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there He's going to come to judge the living and the dead. This is what I was taught. This is what I believe. I never tried to memorize the Apostles' Creed. I just heard it so often. And I want to give thanks to my mother. She's 97 years old this week. And she taught me from an early age truth like that in that creed. You know, I was taught the hymns too. I was taught those songs. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. How does this doctrine and these songs become a part of your life? It's not just something to recite. It's not just something to sing. The reality of Jesus Christ in your life is the goal. That's why I stand before you today. I stand before you that in 1975, so many, many, many years ago, I knew the doctrine, but I had not applied it to my own life. And up in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, I confessed my sin to Christ, believed on the Lord Jesus, and my life has never been the same. About a year after that, I felt called to do what I'm doing this morning. And I give thanks to God that I can stand before you today and tell you the gospel. Share with you what Jesus has meant to me, what He's done in my life. Jesus wants to be real in your life today. He desires to fulfill His mission. You know, when Jesus came, He came on a mission from the Father. But the mission wasn't just to come to the earth, do miracles, preach sermons, love people. Wasn't just to die on a cross. Wasn't just to rise again from the dead. His mission is not complete until your life is transformed. That's why He came. He said this very clearly, and it's so true. The Father, He said, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through Him." Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Do you have a full life today? Do you have a full spiritual life? You have physical life, but do you have spiritual life? I'm here today to say you can have it. It can be yours. When John sat down to write the Gospel of John, which was where we've been lately, John said it very clearly. He was very clear in saying that he wanted to see people to come to Christ. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. That's why he wrote the letter. He was at the end of his life, was near the end of the first century. And he sat down to write this letter so you might have life. Jesus isn't in the business of reformation. He's in the business of transformation. You know, we sometimes try to reform ourselves. We try to get better. We try to do better. Well, Jesus is about transforming you from the inside out. That's what he wants to do. That's what we say our purpose is. And that's why we're here today, to share with you the good news. Jesus said it very clearly, that if I be lifted up on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. you're seated here today and you might be feeling the drawing power of the Father, of the Son, and of the Spirit to believe on Christ. Many people come to Christ on Resurrection Sunday. I know many people who have met Christ on this day. And so I ask you to listen carefully and ponder the truth. Now today we're going to explore how Jesus affected one family. We're going to explore how he affected the lives of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And how that journey of him coming into their family and into their life transformed them. Because he said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. They believed it. And their lives were changed. Their lives were transformed. And that's what we desire for you today. They lived in a little town called Bethany. Bethany is just 2 miles or so from Jerusalem. It's near the Mount of Olives. And its name means the house of poverty. Bethany actually has a rather interesting history. Here's a picture of what it looks like today. It still exists, still a small town. But it was the village by the Mount of Olives. It's where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. It's also the home, or there was a man by the name of Simon the leper who lived there. Now, really, we shouldn't call him Simon the leper. We call him Simon who used to be a leper, because Jesus healed him too. And they were at his house at one point at this town of Bethany. It's the last stop on the pilgrim road from Jericho to Jerusalem. It was used by Jesus for lodging, and according to Luke, it is the place from which Jesus ascended back into heaven. It's just a little town. I'm so glad Jesus likes little towns. I was raised in a little town named for an evangelist, actually, who transformed Atlantic City at the turn of the 20th century, and they named my little town Pittman because it was named after that evangelist. Rather interesting. Well, I'm glad Jesus cares about little towns. He cares about the people that are forgotten. He cares about every person. And he wants to transform your life. That's why he came. Now, let's take the journey together. Let's review 3 connections Jesus has with this family so that he may connect with us and our family today. And it all begins with hospitality. It started through hospitality. We've made hospitality a big deal here at Fellowship this year. We want people to feel welcomed when they walk in. I hope if you're a guest today, you felt welcome. And if you're hungry, please go get some food. It's one of the ways we just want to let you know you're welcomed here. And hospitality actually means to love strangers. But for some people today in this world, Jesus is still a stranger. And they haven't really welcomed him in because they believe the lies that the world has cast about Jesus, a caricature of Jesus that isn't really who he is. So I want to encourage you to follow the example of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and let Jesus into your life. Let Jesus into your family. Well, let me read it from Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus had a bit of a conversation with Martha, and Martha was hospitable through her serving. She's one of those detail gals. I mean, she had the menu all set. She had all the food laid out, and she's working hard on this. And actually, as she's doing this, she kind of got distracted, which in the original means that she got drawn away by all that was around her. Do you ever feel like that? You ever get distracted in your busy life? She was distracted. Now, she's serving the Lord, and that's admirable. That's very admirable. But she got distracted. And Jesus found a way to relieve her stress. Unfortunately, he used her sister as an example. Oh, my. He said, listen, you're just worried about too many things. You know, in serving the Lord, sometimes we get worried about too many things. Martha, Martha. Mary was hospitable through sitting. She sat at Jesus' feet, and she is listening to Jesus Christ. We find this is a pattern in her life. And Jesus commends her for her sincerity. She has chosen what is better, Martha, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I want you to understand that the body of Christ needs both. The mission of Jesus Christ has a church, and it's you and me. It's people who have met Jesus and been transformed by him who are sharing it with others. Now, we do that by serving and by sitting. Because I want to tell you this, and it's really important. The mission of Jesus requires both serving and sitting. And if you want to work for the Lord, you must also walk with the Lord. Mary understood that she needed to walk with the Lord. Martha understood she needed to work for the Lord. You and I need to be a little of Mary and a little of Martha. You see, if we're going to serve the Lord, if we're going to please him, we need to sit at his feet. We need to listen to his word. We need to comprehend and meditate on the truth he's giving us. And that will equip us to work for the Lord. If you try to work for the Lord without worshiping the Lord, you're bound for frustration, misery. You know how I know that? I've done it. Yes. We need to walk with the Lord. And then we work for the Lord. Now, the hospitality begins. Then this family is tested through a tragedy. And I'm going to read for you this text, and because I only want to make a few comments about it along the way. And so this is the word of God, all right? The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, and then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews were there, tried to stone you, and yet you are going back? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. And Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So when he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. And then Thomas, also called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them at the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been there with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He said. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But none of them said, or some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Now, the sisters send news to Jesus that the one that he loves is sick. And Martha was the first one to run out to him. You see, she learned from that previous lesson that she should contact Jesus. She left the city. She left the town and went out to meet him. And she says this phrase that Mary also echoes, if he had been here, he wouldn't have died. You know? And yet she expresses faith that even now you have the power. God will answer your prayers. And Jesus says to her, your brother will rise again. And she reflects the creed, the teaching that yes, there will be a resurrection. And yes, it'll come before the last day in judgment. And that's all well and good. But then Jesus says what is a present reality, not just a future prediction, but a present reality. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is going to transform her view of theology. She's going to grow that day. She's going to realize that it isn't just for the future, that the resurrection is for the present. The life can be lived now, you see? Because Jesus would fulfill the truth that he's the resurrection by rising from the dead. That's why we're here on this Resurrection Sunday. I am the resurrection and the life. He had said earlier, I have the authority to lay down my life and the authority to pick it up again. And that's what he did. He laid down his life for us, and then he took it up again in the resurrection. Her response is quite good. I mean, she says what is clear. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. That's a good confession of faith. That sounds a lot like Peter. When Peter was asked, who is Christ? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Martha's saying something very similar in her faith. And it's such a precious, precious picture of faith and her believing. Now, Jesus also interacted with Mary and he saw her weeping and he wept. But do you notice the text says he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled? Now, I want you to know something about those words. There's an element of anger in Jesus. You say, why was he angry? Well, I'm not exactly sure. It is the shortest verse in the Bible. So if you're in a contest to recite Bible verses, Jesus wept. That's a good one. You know, it is a whole verse. It's actually three words. And Jesus wept. Why would he have been angry? Because Jesus doesn't like death. Death was never a part of the plan. Death came in because of sin. And every time someone physically dies, it grieves Jesus, just like it grieves us. And maybe he was also disturbed by the lack of belief of those around him. Not so much Mary and Martha, but the others in the crowd, those who were his enemies. He spoke with Mary tenderly. And then he says, take away the stone. But Martha, being who she is, she says, no, wait a minute. His body smells. It's been 4 days. By the way, 4 days is very significant in the Jewish understanding of death. They would mourn for only 3 days. By the fourth day, it's over. It's done. They're dead. Lazarus was dead. There's no question about that. But he was going to display, Jesus is going to display his glory by raising Lazarus from the dead. Before he does, he prays to the Father. And I love this prayer just because it so shows me how to walk with Jesus, how to walk with the Father. Jesus stayed in communication with his Father all the way. Look at what he says. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. I knew you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me, that I came on this mission, that I can transform their lives. You see? And then he says, in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, it's a good thing he said Lazarus, because if he had just said come out, all the graves would have been empty. They would have had a whole crowd there. But he just said to Lazarus, you come out. And Lazarus coming out of that tomb is such a picture of salvation for us. When God called us out of death by our sins, he called us out and we come out with the grave clothes on. And for the rest of our lives, we're learning to get rid of the grave clothes and live in the freedom that we have in Christ. Amen? I mean, that's what he does in our lives. And it's a beautiful picture of that. Put on new clothes. Put on the clothes of the new life. Take off the old ones. But I try to picture poor Lazarus, you know? He was dead, but now he was alive. The miracle, unfortunately, did not convince the enemies of Christ. It's so shocking to read the end of this chapter that they decided they are going to kill Christ now. They are determined more than ever that he will die. They don't deny the fact that he raised Lazarus from the dead, but they're more determined to kill him. Isn't it amazing how the miracles of God can sometimes draw people away from Christ rather than drawing them to Christ? But it's their decision. Just like it's your decision, it's my decision. Jesus loves to interrupt funerals. I love that about Jesus. And he certainly interrupted this one. And it's such a reminder that often it is in tragedy that our faith grows. How many of us would confess today that it's when life was really tough and it was crashing in on me that I first came to Christ? That's when I first really believed on Christ. You see, and that's the story here of this family. They met Christ, they had a meal with him, and they begin to know him, and they loved him, and he loved them. But now in the tragedy, their faith is growing. And they are told, I am the resurrection and the life, and they believe it. I have a plaque in my office that says, Jesus never fails. I love that plaque. I've given them away to people. I have it myself. I've looked at it many times. Now, I don't understand when he delays, and I already said that, so I'll say it again. And I know some of you are sitting here this morning, you're like, why is he delayed? Why didn't he come? But I want to assure you, he never fails. The story shows us that. He never, ever fails. He will always be glorified, even in the tragedies of life. For he himself died on the cross for us, the greatest unjust tragedy ever, to prove his love for us. To prove that he could have victory over death and sin. And that he rose again to prove his victory. Now, I want to conclude with this. How many of us would testify that he helped us in a personal crisis? This life is sustained through doxology. This is the kind of postscript to the story of the family of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, because we read in Scripture in John 12 that there was a dinner given in Jesus' honor, and Martha served, of course she did, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. She just extravagantly worshiped Jesus. And you know, she did it, and she didn't care what everybody else thought. And that whole room was filled with the fragrance of that very expensive perfume. And you know that the apostles had some debate about all that. But when Jesus spoke of it, he applauded her. Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. She was extravagant in her worship. She filled the whole room with the fragrance. I wonder if even when he went to the cross, there still was a hint of the fragrance of that nard on his body. Because she believed his word. You see, the apostles were still debating. Is he going to die? Will he die? Is this really true? Mary believed it. She was anointing him for his burial. And Jesus says she's always going to be remembered for this. So I want to ask you a question. If you're a believer in Christ, you really believe in him, how do you want to be remembered? Are you willing to be remembered as one who worships Jesus Christ? Are you willing to say, that's the whole purpose of my life, just to worship him? I want everybody to know I worship him. That was enough for Mary. It should be enough for us who believe. Now, we started out by saying that I want you to be transformed. One thing I learned from COVID, you learned it too. People are afraid to die. Yep, me too. All right, I get it. I like what the preacher said, I'm not afraid of death, it's the dying part I don't like. I think I understand that. But Jesus has an answer for death. He rose again from the dead. He proved his victory. So, what do we need to do to be transformed? He said it right here in this verse. Here it is. This is as plain as the nose on your face and my face too. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. They will live spiritually even though they die physically. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. They'll never experience the second death. They'll be alive forever. Do you believe this? Why not? What holds you back? Maybe you've never really invited him into your life. You've never really sought it out. You've never been hospitable. You believed all the lies of the books you read and the lectures you heard or the comments of others. Why not give Jesus a chance? Why not let him come into your life? Why not sit down with him? Have a meal with him, so to speak, and really investigate who he is and what he said and what he did. And believe on him. That's what God did to me when I was 17 years old. It changed my life forever. And here I am, some 45 years later, still doing what he told me to do. Believe on Jesus. Believe the gospel. And your life will forever be transformed and changed. I believe at what John said of Thomas in Jesus' conversation. Jesus said to Thomas, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's me. That's me. I have not seen Jesus Christ in his glorified, resurrected body, but I believe I will someday. And when I do, I'll be bowing down. I'll be worshiping at his feet just like Mary, and I'll be ready to serve him just like Martha. Amen. Have you believed? Can you say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? Because physical death will never interrupt eternal life. It'll never do it. Once you have eternal life, it's yours forever. but you must receive it. I had to receive it when I was 17. I knew the creeds, I knew the songs, all that stuff, but I hadn't personally really believed. I thought when I came to Christ, I was a member of the church, for heaven's sakes. I thought I was coming back to Jesus, but when I actually reached out to him and said, Lord, will you forgive me of my sins? I realized I'd never been there before. Maybe that's your story. And as we close this service, I want you to know that right over here to this side are going to be elders and their wives. And if you just want to pray with somebody today, you're not sure you've ever trusted Christ, or maybe you are sure and you just want some prayer, you go right over there quietly and then make your way for a burrito after. But, you know, before, just let somebody pray with you. They are eager to pray with you today. I want everybody in this room, everyone watching online, to experience transforming power of Jesus Christ, because that's what he did for me and that's what he can do for you. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you today for leading us to these words of Scripture. Thank you for the miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless us as we sing and as we go forth from this place to tell others the good news that you're alive forevermore. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.